Give us a minute, folks, but welcome back to the MVA Building Apps with Node.
Yes.
Stacy is now connected, and this module, all right, we're going to do creating the user interface. That's the title of the module. That's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the Bootstrap, the web components, the HTML that we need to actually make the chat room what it is.
I'm still laughing. I was, see, what you guys thought is I wasn't plugged in, but I was going to mime this entire module. So the joke is on you, all right? We're going to work on creating the user interface, the UI.
For our chat room,
everyone loves acronyms. So we're going to walk through a couple things, and just to give you a sense of what this module is going to have. Remember, in the previous modules, we've kind of gone through an intro to using Node, walking through the bit of Express framework with Node. We tossed in a little Mongo there, threw in a dash of Socket.io. Sprinkled it all around. We got something in the oven. It's of no use if we have no way to consume whatever is in the oven. I have food all over the brain. I had pizza on my brain before. I'm thinking chocolate cake. I don't know if that will appear. Yeah, pizza right there. Sometime in the future, there will be chocolate cake. So we need to cover, I'd be all over that. Who does like sundaes, really? Oh, man. Can you imagine me as a little kid, just all over my face, just like ice cream? Module overview. Let's get back to what we're supposed to be doing. I could talk about food all day, but I won't bore you. So we're going to be talking about the user interface and how do we kind of create something and what's probably, I wouldn't say best practices, but a pretty decent approach in terms of like what you should do. I try to not use best practices. I try not to use it liberally because, best practices to me is what works for you. So, we'll talk about introduction to Jade. We'll talk about Jade templates, how they work, things that we like about them, things that maybe we don't like. I mean, we don't have to like everything. It doesn't have to be a love affair with every single thing that we have. But there's really good things and bad things, really good things, and maybe some, stuff that you have to watch for. And you'll find that in any kind of templating system, to be honest. Implementing Bootstrap. We're, going to toss in some Bootstrap. They just recorded kind of like an introduction to Bootstrap if you're not familiar with it. It's worth totally going through because Bootstrap is its own entire framework, its own entire entity. We're going to gloss over it. And then we're just going to talk about creating the chat UI and bringing all those things kind of together. So this is really a user interface kind of focused module. And then after this, we're going to talk about, okay, we have the back end, we know what's going on there, we have the front end, how do we glue them together? So we're going to talk a little bit about Jade, and Jade is a templating engine that you can use. It's really pretty much, I think it's like the default for using Express. So if you don't specify what you want to use, you get Jade, right?
Yeah, pretty much. If you're not specifying a custom one, your Jade comes in as part of the default sample code in Node Tools for Visual Studio, as well as some of the other Express generators out there as well.
Yeah.
So it's definitely the one that is probably used the most often with Node, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, unless you're really familiar with all the various templating frameworks or systems, whatever you want to use, if you're really familiar, then you'll probably go and change that configuration or use what you want to use. But otherwise, most people kind of, when they're up and running and just trying to learn Node and learn Express, it's just Jade is what goes hand in hand. And then there's a lot of tutorials on it. So it kind of makes it easier in that sense. So, templating with Jade, what does Jade actually do? Like if I was to say, okay, what does Jade do? What does it look like?
So here's the nice thing about Jade is it takes HTML and then drops all of the tags, all of the brackets. It doesn't drop all the tags. Sorry, that was not correct. It just drops the brackets.
Right.
So it makes the HTML a lot simpler. You don't have to have the closing tags. Those tags are actually dropped. And it uses indentation to make your HTML a lot more readable and a lot more simpler to understand and to visualize. So it's a great templating language. It's super straightforward to use. And for someone who's maybe not too familiar with HTML, although I believe that most of you are, but if you aren't, or if you just simply don't want to spend too much time writing HTML, especially when it gets super verbose with all of the angle brackets and everything, mm-hmm. Jade lets you, this just makes your life easier. It's awesome.
It's quick. Yeah. Right? It's just like, it's almost like, I like to think of these things a little bit like for the lazy programmer. I don't know if it's like, if you guys are like me, but I'm kind of like, maybe I'm going to type with one hand.
All programmers have a little bit of laziness in there.
Are we lazy or do we look for efficiencies?
I think we look for efficiencies.
Kids, I don't
the less
know.
Typing that you do, I don't know.
The better.
Yeah, my hands tend to hurt if I type too much.
Especially if you're typing like this.
It's like, ah!
You are the fastest typer, by the way. I actually asked him earlier, like, are you really typing? Because it was just so fast. I thought he was just making it up, like, waiting for a response from me. And I was like, well, you got the response, because like, wrote a novel in no time. So I brought up the Jade website here, and it's just like the note template engine. This is a really good, first of all, you got to check out the site. It's got lots of documentation. You can walk through, it'll give you examples. So if you're looking to how to do something like, you know, maybe I'm looking for, how to create a template that's going to be an LI that repeats it, you know, maybe I need to include script in it, or maybe I need to, you know, escape some characters or things like that, or any of that kind of stuff that comes with templating. The API, or sorry, the language reference and all that kind of thing, you can kind of start to walk through it and see, all the stuff on the website, jade-lang.com. The documentation, really, really good. It can walk you through all the basics. If we take a look just at this basic example, and once again, we're going to go through what we've used, but just giving you a sense of, how it looks. If you look at the example, you'll see that this is going to convert to HTML, but once again, we don't have the tags. We don't have an opening and closing tag. You'll start to see how, like, IDs, for example, highlighted here, are created.
Question. You just mentioned these ID tags.
Yep.
So what actually is the element that gets generated?
Div, isn't it?
It's a div.
Div, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my, I always feel like, if I get this wrong, what's going to happen? No pizza, no cake.
sorry to put you on the spot there, but I needed to know, because there seems to be no...
There's no divs.
There's no keyword there that you typically see in an HTML, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're losing some of those kind of elements, like divs and whatnot, to get automatically... created for you. And then, you've got your body tag, if you need something to be an H1. So again, you can see that if you started using this and you got used to the syntax, the indentation kind of gives you the sense of the structure that you would normally have in HTML in terms of opening and closing tags. You can see how it could probably be very, very quick once you got used to this in terms of writing what you need to write. And especially if you're building a web application where so much of this stuff is templated, you're not writing custom kind of HTML structures page after page after page. You're probably going to reuse a bunch of templates. Some templates might be variations of other templates. Think of an e-commerce site, for example, where you have a product listing and then a product page. There might be very few variations on that product page. Maybe that product might have a sale item. Maybe it won't. So you can do things like figuring out if that data item that's been given to it, if there's something there, show this or do this, or you can start to have basic logic in this kind of stuff. And once again, it just kind of gives you the HTML structure. And what you do is you pass it. Most templating engines work some way where they have a structure, whether they're getting it from a string, whether you're looking at something like Jade, like this kind of structure, and you pass it a data object, and then it uses that data object to set all the identified variables that might be in the page. So you start to see a lot of that kind of systematically, doesn't matter what templating engine you go through, they kind of all work that way. And so looking through this, you'll see just a variety of a couple of the things. And this is a basic example. If you go through any of the language reference here, You can go through and if you're like, oh, okay, how do I add a class? Or, you know, if I need to figure out if there's, you know, something that exists or not, or let's say you have some, things that you need to escape, for example, or you need to include certain files on certain pages. Like, let's say you have certain JavaScript you want to include on a certain page versus not. Those kind of things, you can just go through the language reference and start to see. And once you get the hang of it, it's very, very easy. One of the nice things about Jade is that, you know, it kind of has that ability to extend templates, right? So you could have a standard template that you, let's say, like my prime example is a product page. You have a standard template you use for it. You could extend something. Let's say maybe there's a different type of product, or it's, you know, it's, you're going to add certain things and it's enough. That it makes no sense to put an if statement in it. You could have a whole other template that kind of extends it, right? So that's like one of the really nice features, I think, about Jade for sure, is that, like, depending on what you're building and how complex it is, you know, you have that ability to have a reusable code and reusable templates where you can then just extend and add what you need.
Yeah, it lets you definitely separate all of the HTML that you have so you can keep it smaller, modularized.
I know, it's such
it's
a hard word.
It's like one of those words. It's like, ah.
You should just be like, blah, blah, blah. You blah. Know what I'm saying, blah.
M something. Yeah, so it keeps you, like, it keeps your code base a lot cleaner. You can separate things out. You don't have this gigantic HTML file, or you don't have a whole bunch of them. One thing that I really like about this is that, let's say that you had a base layout for your HTML page, you can reuse that layout across different pages. Mm-hmm. All you do is basically extend that one. And that's what's really cool about it. You can just extend existing HTML blocks that you have.
Yeah, and I think the modular word, is like a big theme that you're kind of hearing throughout today. And I think that you hear in general in terms of modern web development is that everything is modular. It's componentized as small, small chunks. And so, for example, Node, we're requiring modules. Modules tend to be something that does one thing really, really well, or wraps, you know, a library of that's focused on a task really, really well. Same thing with these kind of things. You're seeing the structure of Express. It's modularizing things. It's putting things in views, you know, routes. You're starting to see that all these things are being put into little digestible chunks, if you will. And so same thing with your Jade templating. And it's really important to note that, because not only does it help you kind of work with what you're doing or organize your work, it helps you work with teams as well, because they start to be able to look at this and I can say, okay, you know what? Hey, can you go and handle the admin panel? It's going to be in here, here, and here. And I'm going to be doing the front end with that little widget that does a carousel, because everyone needs a carousel on a website. Yep. Who doesn't want a carousel? There's not a website that doesn't need a carousel. Cue sarcasm here. And yeah, exactly. Or slow clap. My rant for the day. But, you know, it allows us to work in those ways where we're not worrying about each other. Whereas if you didn't do it that way, and we're all like, we're working on the product page and there's going to be a carousel and there's going to be a recommendation and there's going to be those things, I might be trying to work on this part, you might be trying to work on that part, and the next thing you know, we're just like, okay, I overwrote that, you committed that, I did, you know, and then I'm, you know, just slowly not talking to you for the rest of the day, and then I'm slowly never talking to you again, and then I remove you from my GitHub repository, and then it's over, right? So it starts to allow you to work this way, very, very modular. And, you know, once again, you'll hear that again and again in modern web development. And once you start working that way, it's just, it ends up being a little bit more natural for you. So end of carousel rant on on websites. But, you know, so some basic examples. And I think what we're going to do, just going back into here, is... So we talked about some of the benefits of you know, working with templating and working with Jade. You know, helps prevent code repeat. I mean, come on. Who wants to write the same code over and over and over again, right? So that whole, what is it? Reduce, reuse, recycle. Like, it's the whole green mentality for programming. Yeah.
Dry, don't repeat yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm environmentally friendly here, apparently. Whatevs.
I am too.
Whatevs. But, you know, it also makes sure that the HTML that you're generating is clean. And so sometimes especially if you're writing complex stuff, you'll find like, oh, okay, that nested tag or whatever, you know, maybe you're missing something and maybe some browsers are okay with that, maybe some other browsers not okay with that, you know, so this allows you to kind of make sure that you're also, you know, adhering to some of those things. And, you know, you can just insert any of the data or the values into these templates. And so, again, once you start using templates, and if you're building the type of site where that's really what you need, it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, templating with Jade kind of affords you the ability to build those things in chunks and use them. And it works really, really nicely with Node. So just to go over an example of, you know, and we saw something, you know, on the Jade site, but to give you the actual output, if you look at just some simple tags here, you know, so you specify a div, you get the output of a div, and then you'll see that if something's tabbed in, so like an address element, for example, you know, it's going to go and do that same kind of, you know, hierarchy that you would try to achieve in HTML. Same thing with the I and the strong. You see that, you know, I and strong and address, they're all in terms of hierarchy at the same level, so they kind of just follow after one after another. And then the div closes, and it just assumes that stuff. So I like how I say stuff, like super vague. I'm just going to say, so, stuff. But, you know, assumes that HTML structure, and it writes it for you. So some of the stuff that you're writing can be very, very quickly done if you're using templates. I think the only thing for Jade that kind of, you know, not glowy, super happy about is, and I get this in all languages, sometimes you know, am I spacing? Am I tabbing? Am I tabbing correctly? You know, two tabs over, three, you know, and it gets a little, I don't know how you feel about it, but sometimes it's not sure about that kind of stuff because it really does depend on that. But outside of that, I mean, that's a small kind of, you know.
It's the price you pay for readability, I guess. If the tool forces you to have these tabbing very specific, it makes the code a lot more readable. But yes, you're right. It becomes a little bit inflexible as well sometimes because you don't want to always have to have these long, non-ending tabs.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I like to complain about something. Nothing's really that perfect unless it's pizza or cake. So, you know, I got to complain about it. So if we're looking at templating with Jade, you know, we gave another example here. And, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, that example you gave, awesome, super simple though. I'm going to need to add classes. I'm going to need to add IDs. I'm going to need to add all these things. So you can start to see, you know, on the example on the left, which is like your Jade syntax versus the output on the right, you know, you've got your H1 and we're going to give it an ID, right? And then it's a welcome to Jade. And so the text that would be in, you know, in between that node that you normally would create just comes after it. And then any kind of attributes go within those brackets. And so, you know, ID equals title. And then you've got the text, you know, once again, that's hard-coded text. Maybe we want to switch that out. Maybe that's something that's going to be coming from a database at some point. But you can see the output there. And then on the next example, you know, you have a button and you want to add a class, right? And so BTN is actually a really, it's a base class, so to speak, in Bootstrap. And so we are adding this class button here, you know, we're adding like this action to it, what it may be. And you can start to see how it translates out in terms of how those, you know, attributes get added, what they look like, you know, how it starts to output the HTML for you. And so, you know, those are pretty much really the common things you end up doing, you know, adding IDs when you need to add them, adding classes, and then you start getting into like changing up the data and things like that. Mm-hmm. So templating with Jade, we talked a little bit about the nice feature of creating like a base layout and extending it. You want to talk about extending?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Jade, there's a couple of extra keywords that are added that are not present in regular HTML. And among them, it's the extends keyword. And this basically lets a template extend a layout or another parent template. What it lets you do is it overrides certain blocks in the parent template. or the layout that you're extending. Mm-hmm. And those blocks are actually defined by the block keyword.
Block.
Block. and the block keyword allows you to establish a block, and mm-hmm. You can even put content in the block, so like it will be the default content.
Yep.
And when that content is overridden, it's just completely removed with and replaced with the new content as well.
So if you had like a template that was, let's say, you had a product listing and you had a picture, you had a title, you had a description, you had like a buy now button. And so let's say your default was that it wasn't available yet. And so it was like, this item's coming soon, you know, and there might not be a button, for example, or it's disabled, you know, however you might be. When you extend it, is that what you're talking about in terms of content blocks, is that you could replace that entire block?
Exactly. You could replace the entire block, and you can and you could use it to really create these very flexible base templates and that do hold some structure and some of the stuff that you definitely require.
Yeah.
So think about including your JavaScript files or your CSS files. You can have a parent layout that all other templates will extend from, but they all have at least a uniform handling of the dependency, so you don't have to worry about that manually for every single template.
Right.
That's one of the examples. That's how we actually use the extender.
It sounds very object-oriented in that way, where you know, you're whether you're using a preprocessor to same kind of system where you have your base stuff and you're using your base stuff, and then you're basically saying, okay, well, here's my base template. This is giving me all the things I'm going to need again and again and again in these things. Maybe I'm going to extend them, right? And so if you decide you're going to use a JavaScript library all of a sudden that everyone needed, you know, instead of like going to all these other templates and fixing them, you could just go to base, right, and throw it in, and then you'd be good.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So just using Jade templates, we're going to look at the project that we have currently, and then talk a little bit about how they're used and just walking through, you know, where the data is coming from, that kind of thing. One of the things that comes to mind here at this point is that what we're doing in terms of our user interface, I think it's okay to say this, I think it's fairly simple.
Yeah, right? it's fairly straightforward
might be the better way. Yeah. It's fairly straightforward, but you know, if you were to use building something a little bit more complex, that you were going to use extensive use of base templates and multiple templates, that is something that you don't want to take lightly. You don't want to just throw in and start writing out your presentation stuff. You probably need to think about it in the same way that you would your app or you would your backend. You need to architect what that's going to be like.
Yeah, maybe your data. If you have a hierarchy with your pages, then that could be a good way to actually structure your templates and your layouts. So if you had, let's say, products, this is a general category, but so you would start with the base layout, then there's the product layout, and then there's the individual product, and then there's maybe like the product reviews. It could be other layouts as well that are extending the products. Like the general products.
Sold out product versus not available or coming soon versus on sale. You know, they might all have little differences.
If you've got a URL hierarchy, that could be a good way to structure your templates.
Cool. So we're going to look just a little bit at how we use Jade templates and, you know, in our project, kind of just dissect them a little bit, look at the output that they give, and just show how, you know, how easy it is to kind of go in, take a look, read them, and, you know, have an understanding of what's going in. So I'm just going to open up Visual Studio here. And once again, we're in the very last from the GitHub, which is github.com/SAYAR/
Yes.
capital N node MVA, right? That's where the GitHub is. We have them on the other module slides as well. We're working through the last example, 09 node chat room. That's all we're going to be working in through the entire afternoon. And so you can start to see the structure once again. I think it's worth just going through the structure and explaining, you know, we have our app. This is an express application with Node, so we have views, routes, and public. We're going to probably be working for today mostly showing you in the public folder and in views. So in views, I'm going to take a look at the templates that are being used here. you'll notice, first things first, is that it's index.jade. So it recognizes it as a JADE file. And if we go in, if we go into index, first thing you'll notice, if I was looking at this project and I had no idea, and I just pulled it down, I would see extends layout. And extends is one of those keywords that, depending on what language you come from, you're probably familiar with the concept. You're extending something. There's something that might have a base class. So immediately I would look at this and I would say, this extends something. So this is great, but I need to figure out what it's extending. And that's why it's right at the top, you know it's extending it. So I can go to layout and I can look at layout and get a sense of what I'm extending here. And so looking through this JADE template, you see this HTML, you've got the head, we've got a title, you know, that we're gonna apply. We have, this is where you might have all your references again to any of your style sheets. You know, for example, we're including Bootstrap here. It's been minified. We're including the Bootstrap theme. You can start to see all of those things that, you know, just right up top. And then, you see, you know, this basic page, for example, you'll see this block of content. So that's the block element you were talking about before, right? So this, at some point, you know, we could do something here if we needed to. And we have all the scripts that we're gonna need. So we're, you know, I look at this and I know we're including jQuery from a, you know, a CDN. We're pointing to Bootstrap, you know, JavaScript. So we've got some kind of modules from Bootstrap that we're going to use behavior-wise. And then we've also got the Socket.io, right, which is what we need in terms of working on the client side. We need to, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we need to include Socket.io. And so this is where you might include all of those kind of files that other templates are going to need to use again and again and again, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go into index.jade, and we only have two templates here, you can see we extend layout. So it's basically gonna get everything that layout jade has, but there's places that we can go and replace if we need to. And so you can start to see this format in terms of all these items that are being written out. And some of these classes, the dot items here, you'll see it just gets assumed. It's going to be a dot with, you know, a div with that kind of class attached to it. You'll see some of these classes are very, if you're familiar with Bootstrap, very Bootstrap-ish. Is that a word? Can we make that an adjective? I think Bootstrap is popular enough that could be added to the dictionary.
I think so too. I mean, they've added a few other words this year that were
a little crazy,
like selfie, maybe.
Yeah. Great, and that's what we all need. Let's put that right next to my carousel rant. So you start to see, like, you got the columns, you got things like that. A little bit, and we'll talk way more about Bootstrap in that sense. You know, and we're also adding in, you know, another JavaScript here, index.js. So very, very basic templates that's, you know, kind of being put out for the page. We've got a footer at the bottom. You know, you can start to see how things are being named in terms of you know, whether it's their ID or whether you're seeing classes, that kind of thing. So very, very simple way to get started and to get running. There's not too much that we have going on here, really, when we think about it, because we've got a div, we got another div in it that's a container fluid, means it's gonna be like 100%, it's just gonna take up the space that it's within. And then we've got a title, you know, and we have this little variable here, messages, right? Or sorry, this ID messages, which, you know, I'm assuming if I know nothing about what you've done in your application, which is probably a safe assumption for me for most things, I have no idea, I'm just gonna deduce. I'm gonna deduce here that something's gonna be put in there and then it's gonna be the messages of some sort.
That's right. So just to add a little bit more clarification. So the block content, that will go inside the block content in the layout.jade.
Yeah,
is that correct?
So right here.
Okay, so if you see that this entire block of content is going to be inserted into layout when it gets all rendered together as one HTML page.
Right.
Awesome.
And so, I don't know, is there anything else you want to point out in terms of what's going on in the index JADE file or anything else? Because for me, I look at this And even if I didn't know what a Jade template did or how it got rendered or any of those kind of things, I can at least look at this a little bit and see a little bit of the hierarchy. I can see a little bit of where things are going to lie, just, you know, from the classes, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see at the bottom here, we've got a footer, and it's going to be a fluid container. And then, you know, once again, we've got some more markup happening. A lot of it's relating to Bootstrap. And you'll see we have an input, you know, so I'm assuming this is where we're just going to input some text, right, and figure out what that text is. And then, you know, we've got a send button. So we've got the very basics of, I would say, the HTML markup, mm-hmm. right, or the structure that's kind of working out of place here. And, you know, that's kind of just one aspect of where that should go, because in this page, if we look at it, this, we added some behavior, right? If it's JavaScript, there's going to be some kind of something going on there. So if we walk into JavaScript just out of curiosity to see what's going on, and again, this is how I would approach just pulling down a project. I'd probably go through every single thing and figure out where stuff maps, where stuff's being called for, why is it being included. And so if I'm going to look at the JavaScript index for this template, it's going to be pulled out of public. And in public, there's three folders. We've got CSS, fonts, JavaScript. Again, in your public folder, you could have whatever structure you want. And we're looking at, you know, JS, where we've put the Bootstrap and we've put index.js. And I can start to see what's going on here. Now, that's one of the things about using, you know, HTML and using jQuery, for example, is that by looking at those templates, I have no idea of the behavior of that page. I don't know if someone's clicking something. I don't know if things are being rendered over and over again. So, you know, I need to go and find out if there is any behavior happening and what's actually happening. So when I open up the index.js, which was linked to from this template right here, I can see, okay, there's some stuff that's going on. And, you know, if you know even just a little bit of jQuery, it's most often used for DOM manipulation, you know, capturing events, and I'd say animation. And so I can see there's a send message button right here, and it's looking for that item. So, okay, it's going to capture something on that item. If I go back to the index, I can find that item just by looking here. So I can see these, you know, see it starting to be mapped a little bit in terms of behavior. And so what we're doing here is we're capturing that send message button and we're capturing the click function, right? And so again, you know, that whole event-based system, we're going to capture the click on it and we're going to do a variety of things. So, you know, in theory, it's a chat application. If someone hits submit or they have that send message button, we're going to take what was in the input field and we're going to send that, right? And so you can start to see right at the beginning, there's a variable that references socket. So it's, you know, equal to IO, which is a library that we included previously. We included it in layout. So that's going to be, you know, available to anyone who extends layout. And so we create a reference to the socket IO. And then what I'm doing is I'm grabbing the stuff again, because I don't know what you're going to, I don't know what kind of message you're going to send. So we're grabbing the value from the input. And what we're doing is we're going to emit that to chat. So basically that channel that we created that was all about the chat channel. And we're sending that message so that everyone gets that message. And then we're appending, again, there's that messages ID, and we're appending that message to it. And then you can see that, you know, we've got emptying out the value of that original input field. So you input something, you hit send, and then it's going to append it. And then, you know, basically it's going to empty out your input so that you can do it again. Now, going back to the socket IO bit a little here, I might have jumped ahead because we could do a little bit of the Bootstrap, but you can just see, and we'll explain this a little bit of just connecting things from the front end to the back end. This is me jumping ahead. I just want to get everything done. Just throw it down and get it done. But you'll see that we're capturing the chat and then we're going to append messages. So going back to the templating a little bit, you know, we included Bootstrap here. And so what we're going to do is we're also going to talk a little bit about Bootstrap and why we're using it here. Do we need to use it? Do we not? So we're going to talk just a bit about Bootstrap and the beauty of Bootstrap, really. This, mm-hmm. I think there could be a whole, I mean, they did do a whole day on the beauty of Bootstrap. So we're going to talk about implementing Bootstrap. And so when it comes to Bootstrap, if you don't know what Bootstrap is, I think we previously said it was the number one project on GitHub, right?
Yeah, it's right. The number one project. Extremely popular.
Yeah.
Extremely popular.
Like, all sites look the same almost now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right?
Like, if you're looking to create a very simple site...
I feel bad. It's like Stacey's rant day. Okay, tabbing in on Jade templates, carousels, and now we have every site looks like Bootstrap.
Yeah, and that's because everyone does use Bootstrap. It's so popular.
Yeah.
It's one of the most popular projects on GitHub. Think about it, like, there's thousands of contributors to the project. Like, thousands of people are adding things to the project. Like, it's huge amount of modules that are added, sort of like independent ones that you can add to your own Bootstrap.
Mm-hmm.
There's even Bootstrap themes. So
yeah, saw those.
All those, so I don't know why people just use the default Bootstrap theme, but you could use basically a theme that will change it completely and look not like none of the other Bootstrap sites that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very familiar. It's very similar to WordPress themes almost,
exactly.
You know, where you're starting off those things. And so I used one for a site and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is going to, you know, make a difference. And I looked, oh, yeah, okay. And then I, you know, tailored it a little bit. But, you know, Bootstrap is one of those things that was, I think, was originally created by Twitter, people at Twitter.
Yeah.
Right?
Two developers at Twitter, they were using it to unify their internal tool styling. So all their internal tools, they all had different CSS styling for each one.
Yeah.
They created one framework that sort of unifies that styling across the board. And the amazing thing is when they open sourced it, it just exploded in popularity. It was just amazing to watch that growth. It was just fantastic.
I know, everyone loves it. And the thing about Bootstrap is it handles a lot of things for you. So it gives you a lot of scaffolding in terms of CSS. So if you're building anything that's, and if you're not at this point, it's kind of like at some point you're going to have to immediately in the future, is responsive sites, you know, building for various devices. And so it solves a lot of, I wouldn't say it solves the problems, it does a lot of work for you. And so it gives you a lot of the kind of CSS scaffolding in terms of all the styles you need to create fluid containers to make sure they stack one on top of the other, you know, so you don't have to worry about clear fixes or any of that kind of stuff. It handles a lot of those kind of situations for you, but it also, depending on how much you use from Bootstrap, provides you with a lot of behavior. And so I like to separate things in terms of, presentation and behavior. And so presentation would be CSS, and then behavior would be JavaScript. So it gives you a lot of behavior. So if you implement it properly, you're going to get, and if you download the JavaScript and what you need, you can get things like the carousel, which we all love, drop-down navs, right? Buttons that work in certain ways. You can get all the styling on input fields. You know, those kind of things that you might need in terms of styling or in terms of behavior. And so a lot of people really do kind of flock to Bootstrap because it's very easy to use. The learning curve's not that big. And it gives you so much out of the box and it saves you so much time, especially if you are developing for devices with various resolutions and sizes. So, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people have been using. And it just accounts for all the common kind of functionality and layout needs that you might need. Now, you can also go to Bootstrap and, you know, it has its own defaults. Everyone loves their own defaults. And so it definitely has its own font defaults. It has its own colors that it likes, those kind of things. You can go, and even the grid. So, you know, anytime you're working with CSS and you're worrying about sizes of elements, sizes of containers, you know, that kind of thing, we call it basically your grid. And so, you know, it you can go and customize all those things. So if you decide, oh, I'm not going to work with 960 grid, or I'm not going to work with a, 1280 or whatever it may be, you can customize it. You can put in your own gutters and your own sizes and all that stuff. You can customize the defaults for the colors. You can customize all of that kind of stuff. Even if you're going to implement a font that's going to be kind of like your base underlying font, you can customize those things. And so to get Bootstrap, it's pretty simple. You just go to http getbootstrap.com, right? And then to customize it, you go getbootstrap.com/customize. Now, if you are really going to kind of stray away from the defaults and really make your own defaults, it's worth customizing it, because otherwise you got to go in and override everything. And that can be, you know, it can be a little... It can be annoying, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, you spend the time customizing it, and that way you don't need to worry about it. And so that way you got your font sizes and your colors and your palettes and all those things that you need. The other thing to note about Bootstrap is that you can kind of choose whether or not you're going to, if you use a preprocessor. So a preprocessor is, you know, the ability to kind of write your CSS in a little bit more of an object-oriented fashion, and it gets compiled down to CSS. And so you can choose if you want to use, and these are two of the most popular ones, less or SAS. And so once again, if you haven't checked out preprocessors, check out less or SAS. You'll start to see the kind of functionality they afford you in terms of, you know, allowing you to reduce how much code you're writing in CSS. So having variables, having functions for things that you do again and again, like I need rounded corners with all vendor prefixes, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, Bootstrap allows you to kind of utilize those workflows. To implement Bootstrap, you know, as soon as you've downloaded it and you have it going, again, it's basically taking those files. So you're always going to get the CSS, and there's a JavaScript. And once again, you can go and customize and say, okay, I want this functionality from the JavaScript and not this, you know, maybe you need only one or two things. You don't want it all if you're not going to use it all. You want to keep your footprint really low. So you can go and customize it, download it, and then it's as simple as including the JavaScript and including the CSS, which we saw. So let's go just into what we have. And if you take a look at, it should be in our layouts, you'll see that we have downloaded Bootstrap and we are using the minified version. Now, you know, again, it's up to you, and it depends on what, you know, how you work and what your environment's like. You might not want the minified version. You can always get the non-minified version. It might be easier to read. Again, and you know, you can do pretty print basically in some of the tool sets now, which will take the minified and make it more readable if you need to do that. Sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you're using something and an error comes up and you don't know where it's coming from and you've got to read a library that's just not yours. But, you know, for the sake of this, we've used the minified versions, and what we've done is we've downloaded it, and when you download Bootstrap, it kind of comes in its own file structure of how they think it should work. And we've just kind of, you know, rejigged it and put in the file structure that works for us and put it in the public folder. Again, anything that you're doing client side needs to go in the public folder. If for no other reason, you just got to remind yourself that because you are writing JavaScript on client side and on server side, you want to make sure that you have a very, very huge distinction of which is the client side JavaScript. Once you start opening up files and you're just looking at the tabs, it's really easy to become confused. So making sure that you just reference everything in the public folder like that makes a lot of sense. And so we have Bootstrap. We have it also minified. You know, we're using the minified version. And, you know, we've included the CSS. And then what you do is you include the Bootstrap CSS first, and then you include yours, because you might want to override some of their settings. You might want to add on to it. Chances are you're going to use this kind of as your foundation, and then you might have custom styles for other things. So you include any of your style sheets after, so that you make sure that you're getting all the benefits of what they're doing. Couple other things that Bootstrap does for you that we, you know, don't really mention here, but a lot of the things is, you know, using Bootstrap, you're kind of normalizing your browsers in terms of CSS too. So, you know, setting some defaults and things like that. You're going to chime in.
Yeah.
Saya,
so,
hand up.
Yeah. It's funny. I raise my hand. It's like I'm in class. Whenever Stacey starts like going through her teaching mode, I just have to sit down and listen and raise my hand every time. But I did want to ask you, let's say that I have my index.jade, mm-hmm. and I want to add a CSS file just for that folder, just for that template. What would you suggest I do to my my layout?
I would probably end up doing the same thing that you did for your script in terms of a block where that you can replace it. Mm-hmm. And so I'd put a block for somewhere in the links in case you need to do that and replace that content. I don't know. You tell me if I'm right or not.
Actually, I think I agree with you. I mean, okay. If it worked for JavaScript,
okay,
it'll
work
for,
hold on. That wasn't a lot. You didn't give me a lot of, like, I don't know, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Confidence. That's the word. There was not a lot of confidence. You're like, yeah, I think I would do that. Whatevs. So, looking at that kind of thing, you can see how you just included. And then, if we look at our layouts, I'm gonna kind of stay away from just layout.jade because we know that we're implementing those items, and you'll see that we've implemented it. But if we look at index, you'll see that, you know, if you're not familiar with Bootstrap, you can look at anyone's HTML and you can be like, they are using Bootstrap because I can recognize the class names. Now, I don't know exactly when Bootstrap did it. They kind of changed their format for class names because they used to have like span 4, span whatever. And now you'll see like a column extra small 4, you know, all these different things. So at some point, they did change the taxonomy of their classes. So you have to watch for that. However, you know, you'll start to see that it will give you, you know, we're using a lot of things from Bootstrap in terms of the classes. So, you know, the idea of a fluid container, right? A container that you have that's going to be fluid and it's going to be 100%. We have the idea of a row. So you got to think of things in terms of row and columns, right? When it comes to that scaffolding for layout in Bootstrap. And so, you know, you'll have a row, and in that row, you're going to have columns. And then the next row, obviously, will go under the previous row. So it's that idea of rows and columns. And those column sizes are based very much on your grid default settings or what you customized. So, you know, if you're looking at something that's like column, you'll see col dash, you know, XS dash 8, you know, that will be a certain number in relationship to your grid. And that's the thing about responsive design. Everything is really starts off with that number where you're saying, I'm working with a grid like this, or maybe it's truly 100%. And everything within it becomes a percentage of that. And that's how you get that fluidity. So did I say that right? Fluidity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than how I say modularize.
High fives. Got to high five myself. I need a little high five thing here. Can you put
I'll
up a hand?
You a real high five.
Don't leave me hanging. That was weak. Oh my God, don't leave me hanging. So you start to see, you know, a lot of those things, and you'll start to see the columns. And you know, once again, look up on Bootstrap, just read up a little bit about it. Worst comes to worst, start playing with the numbers and just see what they do. Because, you know, they basically columns and sizes, they go from, you know, like 1 to 12. So you can kind of just go through and start playing with those items and seeing, oh, this makes the size this much bigger and this. And, you know, Bootstrap has so much stuff in terms of it. But it also, not just layout, it has also... if you define things with certain names, and if you include the JavaScript and whatnot, it has certain behaviors that it's looking for. So when the JavaScript, when you include it, it will go through the DOM and it will look for those items. And it will say, oh, it has, you know, these classes. And you can get certain behavior with certain things as well. You'll see a lot of things when it comes to Bootstrap. You'll see, for example, we have BTN as a you know, button class, and then BTN primary, and then it's also a BTN large. And they're just using multiple classes so that you can kind of add on behavior behavior in terms of presentation, like what it should look like in multiple places. So you can be like, this is a button, okay, it's also a primary button, so it's gonna look like this, right? As opposed to, you know, a non-primary button. This is a large button, so the size is gonna be bigger, and those kind of things. So when it comes to, you know, using Bootstrap, I mean, again, there is a reason why there was a whole MVA on Bootstrap, because it can be a beast. It can also be something you can use very, very quickly to get up and running. Is there anything you want to add on Bootstrap?
I think it's awesome. It's definitely an awesome CSS framework. It's the only one that I use.
You sound like my 12-year-old nephew. It's awesome. I love it.
I get excited.
It's awesome.
Before I used to struggle. I used to struggle with CSS.
Yeah.
Simply because like I didn't have this big library that I could just reference that had all this stuff that I usually use. Yeah. It was just like all my sites looked like. Like these basic websites that like maybe, you know, have nothing special about them.
Yeah.
Right? And now with Bootstrap, I just stick Bootstrap right in, and immediately I have something that looks decent, at least semi-decent enough that I can put it on the web and not be like embarrassed.
Yeah, not hide away in shame.
Exactly.
Yeah, programmer
fall
shame.
Fall in tears, you I know, think, like not. Oh.
I think that's programmer shame, where you're like, is it Comic Sans and Lime Green? Yes. Like, you know, but it is. It's one of those things where, and that's what I think a lot of people say about Bootstrap. You throw it in and it makes stuff look, you know, okay, it looks good, it looks acceptable, it looks acceptable to everyone, you know, and that's the difference. Because sometimes as a developer, and I hate to be like this, but sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter, it works, and that's what we were focused on, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet a designer, and they look at it, and they're like, oh, like, I don't care if it works, it just doesn't even look right. And so you kind of match both of those things. So, you know, very quick kind of glossing over, you know, Bootstrap. Again, like I mentioned, there was an MVA just on Bootstrap. We went over some Jade templating. We showed you some examples. We showed you how it's used in the project. And so for the next module, we're actually going to take that front end, right, smash that back end together and make things work. Because, you know, otherwise we're just kind of looking at the stuff.
Otherwise, it's, exactly.
Yeah, we need things to work.
We need things to be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that word, and you might hear a lot more of it now that it's stuck in my head.
More awesome.
More awesome.
More awesome.
We need more awesome.
Oh yeah, cake! I got cake! Today is like the best day ever. I never know what to do. This is so good. Ah, yum, yum, yum. We're going to take a 10-minute break with some cake that's no longer here. It's okay, it went away, I ate it already. And then we'll see you back for the next module, which we're going to talk about, you know, working front end, back end. And then after that, we've got deploying and debugging. And that's it. That would be it. So we'll see you in 10 minutes. We're going to take a break.